Able for the gospel reading. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dear siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy creator in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. And before I jump into my sermon, I would like to thank Josh McCall here, who's playing classical guitar for us today. Maybe we could all thank him together. You all should see how red his face is right now. A serious question. I want you to think about this. What would you do if suddenly, somehow, maybe a bolt of lightning, a flash of light, something that left no question in your mind that it was God, but imagine if God just suddenly showed up right here in this space, maybe standing just right there, maybe floating so that you know it's really God. I don't know. But some way where you know with absolute conviction that God is standing before you. I imagine you would have that awe-inspiring fear that we hear about in the Bible all the time when angels show up, when you realize that you are in the presence of the divine. Maybe that kind of fear would be present with you first. And then maybe it dissipates as God opens God's mouth and starts to speak. Now, what I want you to wonder for yourselves is if God was right here in front of us and started to speak, would you hang on to every word? Would you lean in maybe a little closer? Would all of the other senses around you suddenly disappear? Would the room melt away because your attention would be so fixated on what God was saying in that moment right there? Would nothing else matter? And then if God, for some reason, asked you to do something, would you do it? Or would you say, "I'll think about it," or "that seems too difficult"? What would you do? Now, this seems kind of obvious, right? It's painfully easy to answer. Some of you might be thinking, "Here we go, Pastor Chris. Where are you leading us? Let's get this over with. What direction is this going?" Of course we would listen to God if God showed up. That's what we're here for, right? That's what we've been asking ourselves for, is for God to just show up and speak to us explicitly. Leave all doubt out of our minds. Just give us something of certainty, something we can hold on to and know for sure that it is true. Absolutely, we would listen to God if that happened. Advent has had this pattern this year that I've hoped to put before us, and it has led us right here to this moment. This is our fourth Sunday of Advent, It is the last time of this waiting and this preparation for Jesus to be present in us and among our world, the story that we share each year. This pattern for Advent this year, the last 3 weeks culminating to today, really has been about risk more than anything else. And I can't speak about risk enough. And I want you all to know this and hear this and treasure it in your hearts. If you ever want to call yourself a follower of Jesus or a Christian, if you ever want to be one who follows that divine voice, it will always, always, always entail risk. And if you are a risk-adverse person, if that's not your personality, this might be the wrong faith for you. But then as someone who knows about other faiths, they all ask for risk too. And then maybe you could step into the realm of unbelief, but I think unbelief asks for risk also. So I think then to be an authentic human being, inevitably we have to step into risk. That's why for the last 3 weeks I've been talking about risk so much. That's why I've been trying to open up our fear of risk so much and the different shapes that that fear takes. I've asked you to consider being vulnerable, opening yourself up and seeing the parts of yourself that you don't really want to see. Maybe letting go of your need of certainty and just embracing the uncertainty that life inevitably asks us to embrace. I've asked you to risk stepping into those spaces of your life that we all tend to avoid, that we fear, that we don't want to go to. And I've asked you to even try to find the beauty that exists in all of those places. Faith is about risk, folks. It is about looking at all of the lines that we draw in the sand and daring, just daring, to step over them and see what's on the other side. When I talk about risk, I talk about crossing these boundaries, I talk about being vulnerable and opening yourself up and the growth that happens when we do this, the beauty that we encounter, using language and vernacular that hopefully speaks not to our intellect but more to our hearts. But really what I'm trying to push us all to is not just simply to grow as people, not just simply to encounter beauty in the spaces that we have been unwilling to go to, but I think more than anything else, really at the heart of it, is I'm asking you to go into these spaces because that is where God speaks to us. We can hope with all of our hearts that God would suddenly show up right here in this space, right here in front of us, take all doubt, all uncertainty away, and just speak, and we would know that it's God, and we could hold on to those words. But the truth is, that's been happening all along. The risks that we seek, the lines that we may dare to cross, is to go to those spaces where God has been speaking. It is all about hearing those words that exist around us all the time. I started by asking, what would you do if God show up and spoke? The whole room got quiet, even the baby. But the crazy thing is that God has been speaking to us our entire lives. And often we haven't been listening. That voice has been there somewhere, existing all along around us. It's not that we've needed to travel far to find it, to go into foreign lands, to find mystics themselves. God's voice has been there the entire time, but we have been silencing that voice. We have been plugging up our ears. We have been closing our eyes and turning the other way through fear. fear of risk, fear of vulnerability, fear of opening ourselves up, fear of showing people who we really are, fear of showing ourselves who we really are. We silence God through prejudice, through allowing the world to tell us what to fear, and to avoiding these spaces around us from that unfounded fear, and thereby cutting ourselves off from God speaking to us. And then we silence God through our very own apathy, from clinging on to our own levels of comfort, our own levels of certainty, our own levels of security. So afraid of going beyond that. At least it's something we can grab onto, right? But I'll tell you, not very often does God speak so profoundly in those spaces. Today we hear Matthew's story of the birth of Jesus. It's the shortest one. That's why we never read it on Christmas Eve. The service would be over so quickly. But imagine in that short little story right there what's happening with these two characters, Mary and Joseph. We hear that Mary is engaged to Joseph, which does not mean that these two people walked across each other in the market and fell in love. What it means is that Joseph's parents got together with Mary's parents and said, hey, this would be a really good economic benefit for our two families. Let's marry these two. And they agreed upon it. Mary's price would have gone up if she was a virgin. And so the price probably did go up. But then we find out that she's pregnant, which means her value as a piece of property has suddenly gone down. It means that she's brought shame not only to her own family, but to Joseph's family too. This was such a big deal that the law said at best she could simply be dismissed, and then maybe her parents could go and find someone who will pay a lesser value for her. But at worst, she ought to be executed for committing such a scandalous, scandalous crime. But the crazy part is that before she tells anybody about this, before it becomes known, she too is visited by an angel who says, God will bless you and you will carry inside of you the Savior of all nations. And she had at that point a choice to cross lines, boundaries, to take risks, to open herself up vulnerably to the scorn and ridicule and scandal of what this would bring. And she does it. And then we have Joseph, who we learn is a righteous man. And instead of seeking her own execution, rather chooses to dismiss her quietly. And he too is visited by an angel, and he too has these lines drawn in the sand around him. He can do what tradition, what certainty, what security has told him his whole life he should do, just dismiss her. Your family is still reputable. You can go and find someone, some woman of a higher value. And yet he takes a risk. He crosses that line. I imagine that both families disown them after this point. I imagine these two are on their own. And I imagine it's that reason that these two travel from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. Because all they have in the world now is each other. This promise that Mary carries inside of herself. And this risk that God is truly speaking to them. Imagine what would have happened if they would have just acted like most people act when faced with risk. We probably wouldn't be here today. All of Advent has been leading up to this point. Are you willing to risk? Are you willing to identify those lines in the sand in your own lives, whatever they may be? Those fear, those prejudices, that comfort, Are you willing to let go of it and risk? I don't think we create enough space for ourselves in these services, but I'm going to ask you today, and I want you to just pause and think about it for a moment. How is God speaking to you now? What is God calling you into? What risks are you being called to brave so that you can hear God speak? Traditions are great. They ground us. They hold us firm. They give us a space from which to jump off of. We do Advent every year. There's always four of them. And then next we move into Christmas and Christmas Eve. And whether you're celebrating that holiday here with us or somewhere else with family or with friends, I too will ask you to pause in the midst of your own traditions, whatever they may be. Don't let your traditions hold you back from taking risks. Don't let this just be another Christmas where you do all the same things you've always done, even if they bring you joy. I mean, this year, we're not cooking a standing rib roast. We're going to cook steak instead. We'll see what happens. Take time in your life to identify those risks. Take time in this holiday and these traditions and these things that ground us, and let them remind you that even though you take risks, you are safe. You are surrounded by people who love you. You can venture into those spaces of the unknown and possibly, just possibly, hear God speaking to you. Let this be the year where you jump off from this point, from those traditions, and just take risks. Step into those spaces that you avoid, whatever they may be. And if you are so afraid to do it, if it feels crippling, come talk to me. Let me walk with you. Or find someone who will. Be vulnerable. Open up about your fears, your hopes, your dreams. Talk about the parts of yourself that maybe you're ashamed of, or the parts that maybe the world has said is not enough. Open yourself up so that these traditions and these people who surround themselves can tell you that you are loved, even then and there. And find beauty in the darkness. Realize that life is both hope and love and compassion, and at the same time, unrealized dreams and pain and loss. But there's beauty and joy in all of it if you can just open your eyes and look. Let this be the year that you listen to God, my beloveds, because I'll tell you, God is speaking. Amen. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.